You could draft him as a flyer, and then all of a sudden they have him starting at fucking quarterback. You plug him in your wide receiver. It's fucking all set. And like, how do you not see that, Walsh? It's perfect.
You cracked the code, dude. You figured it out. Mohamed Sanu, New England Patriots starting quarterback.
Total lock.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with my good friend Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, how are we doing?
Doing good, man. Ready to start the fucking season. I loved how you were like, it's like podcast season now. And I was like, nah, we got a couple more weeks. You're like, nope, we start division previews now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I figured schedule-wise, if we get all the divisions out, now, then we've got the whole month of August to go through draft strategy and, you know, news and ADP changes and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to get through these division previews as over the next 8 weeks or so. So keep an eye out for all of that. And we're going to start today with the AFC East. So this is going to be part one of that. It's good to be back. We had those couple pandemic podcasts where we just got shit faced. But I mean, cause normally we pretty much run from June to the end of the year. So here we are, it's June. We're back again. Hopefully everyone is doing well, and hopefully this lets you start diving into some football. But we're going to start with the Bills and the Jets today. So Patriots and Dolphins will be next week. Before we jump into the Bills, Vin, you got anything you're trying to get off your chest? Or are you good?
No, I'm good.
All right, sweet.
I like to internalize everything, so I'm fine.
Yeah, all right, wonderful. I am also internalizing a million things. But let's just jump right in with the Bills. So the Bills, I think, are a really, really interesting team in that they are not the current betting favorite to win the division, but I think the Bills should win this division this year. With Tom Brady obviously out of New England, the betting market remains very respectful of Bill Belichick, like wildly respectful, to the tune of them having a half-game win total, expected or, you know, over-under for the win total. Then better than the Bills do. The Bills currently have a 9-game win total for 2020. What do you think about that? Do you think the Bills should win this division, or are you still with the Patriots, or are you just like a random like Dolphins lover or some bullshit like that?
No. I mean, not on the Dolphins. We'll get to that, but I don't know. Like, that's a very Vegas move because it gets people to bet on both things. Like, no one's going to doubt the Patriots, and then also you got to take some action on the Bills as dogs to. Because they just went to the fucking playoffs for the first time, second time in a couple of years. But the way they got there was impressive, and they just had such a weird, good season. And it would be very strange if they were not, you know, I mean, if we're making the odds, of course we're going to pick them as the favorite. But when you're looking at it on paper, they should be easily, you know, like we said, the favorite. But again, the Bill Belichick mystique is definitely still fucking around. And it's fucking with my head when I was looking at the Patriots. Because you don't know what to think of them at all, but you just look at them and what they have, just like, Bill could probably make this work. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I maintain that the Patriots are going to fucking suck this year, I think. I mean, like, their defense...
You're going, like, full in on that.
Yeah, I think so. But we'll save that for later on. Okay. Sorry. I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse. Is that how this... Yeah, that's how the saying goes. Anyway, let's get back to the Bills. So, the Bills, to me, this year... They really have built the team in a way where, you know, going into his third year, this is sort of a make or break year for Josh Allen. They've kept the same head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. There's a lot of continuation on this team where they haven't really lost too much that was important, but they have added some key pieces. And I think now with the additions of Stephon Diggs, with the addition of Zach Moss, the running back from Utah, the Bills have a pretty complete offense and a lot of weapons for Josh Allen to use. So now he's just got to use it. Now, like, this is the point where if Josh Allen doesn't take a step forward and really become you know, a solid NFL quarterback this year, they might start thinking that their franchise needs to go a different direction. For fantasy purposes, Josh Allen's currently sitting at quarterback 7, 77th overall. I love Josh Allen, but that seems a little high to me. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, he's one of those quarterbacks that really keeps it afloat with his rushing stats. If he can clean up, like, the dumbass mistakes he makes, like throwing backwards passes when you're trying to win a playoff game, or just those random stupid picks that he always throws, he really should be able to make that leap, like you alluded to, as the franchise quarterback for the Bills. But it's tough to say if I like him that much. I do like the rushing floor, and that is probably the most appealing thing about Josh Allen. And then I think his spot is due to the, well, it's dumb, but the addition of, like, of course it is, of a Stephon Diggs, because you think that he's just going to have a better outlet to pass to. And the weapons they have are stacked. Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Diggs, that's like an elite trio.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they do really have one of the best, like, if you – I mean, you know, in the NFL in 2020, three wide receivers is more or less the starting lineup. And if you look, like, top to bottom and just, like, the roles they all play, you know, Diggs, Brown, and Beasley is clearly one of the best in the NFL in that regard. Just, you know, you've got your slot specialist. You've got two guys – you know, John Brown is known as a deep threat, and I think last year he showed he can run those intermediate routes. He can kind of operate at multiple levels of the field in a way that we haven't really seen before. And Diggs is kind of a guy who's known as, you know, an intermediate route guy, like a great route runner, that sort of thing. But Diggs last year, and this is something wild that I'm not sure that everyone really realizes, that Diggs for the Vikings last year was used in the John Brown deep threat role. His average depth of target was 14.9 yards, and John Brown's last year was 14.6. So Diggs was actually used as more of a deep threat in that Vikings offense last year than John Brown was in the Bills offense. Now, I think the Bills are going to try and transition him back to sort of that intermediate route, you know, just take advantage of his skill at running routes and setting guys up to you know, really use him to his full advantage. But I'm interested in how they use Diggs, because he showed he can do a lot of things last year and be used in a way, and not that he liked it, he was pissed off the whole year about it. So we'll see. But yeah, so we've got Diggs here going wide receiver 23, 59th overall, and then John Brown, wide receiver 41, 108th overall. Cole Beasley, wide receiver 71, 215th overall. For Diggs, I feel like the value is kind of right. I think the other two are, like, wildly undervalued at this point in the offseason. I don't know. What are your opinions on that?
Yeah, I think the Diggs stuff is dead on. The only thing, like, I love John Brown. I like Cole Beasley. My only problem is when you have these guys, when do you use them? Like, it's going to be really hard to gauge. Like, Cole Beasley, I could never figure out. John Brown, at least you have that upside of catching, like, a huge bomb. But, like, when you have a guy like Cole Beasley and you're flexing him or something like that, you're really banking on either a lot of catches or a random two-touchdown game. So the value is definitely there super late, obviously. He's basically going free right now and probably will, you know, towards the end of the season since he's the third option on the team. But – you know, with a guy like John Brown where he's falling in the middle, I think that's where I'm the most confused, because John Brown can definitely do it all, and him and Stephon Diggs are very similar, like you were saying, but I think it's going to be very hard to dictate when you want to play a guy like John Brown in your starting lineup.
Okay, that's fair. I just know if John Brown stays at the 108th pick, so you're getting him in, you know, like somewhere from like the 8th to 10th round, depending on the size of your league, I am going to own so much fucking John Brown this year, as I did last year, you know. But
yeah, it's just going to be frustrating, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how it all goes. But yeah, Josh Allen really is set up with those weapons. So let's talk a little bit about Dawson Knox, who's the second year tight end now. He's currently tight end 29, pick 235 overall. So not really on the redraft radar. Do you think he should be?
I mean, I'm going into this year firmly on the I don't give a rat's fuck about any tight end. So I'm really having a tough time trying to figure out even who should be drafted at all, like as a top 10. So I really, if you want to take Dawson Knox, go ahead and take Dawson Knox. I'm not going to have many strong opinions on any tight ends this year.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair way to look at it. I mean, it's not like the tight end position overall has a ton for these Bills. You know, you have Knox and then you have Tyler Kroft behind him, as well as Lee Smith and Tommy Sweeney, who I always like to bring up because one of my good friends' names is Tommy Sweeney. but yeah, you know, it's not that he's going to mean anything, but you know, I don't have any strong opinions on Knox. I think he could take some steps forward going into his second year. You know, behind, going back to those wide receivers, behind them they have, you know, Duke Williams, Isaiah McKenzie. They drafted Gabriel Davis and Isaiah Hodgins. I don't really have any opinions on these guys, and I don't think we need to, right?
Yeah, probably not. Question for you, Walsh. Would you rather take Dawson Knox, or would you rather take a guy we'll talk about in the other podcast, and Mike Gesicki?
Definitely Gesicki.
Okay.
I think Gesicki showed that you know, he's a guy who had a really solid end to the year last year. And I like that momentum going into this year. You know, we'll talk about some of the drawbacks or some of the disadvantages of Gesicki when we get to that part. But yeah, I would definitely rather have Gesicki, I think.
Right. And he's not even being drafted as a top 10 tight end, even like remotely close, right?
Gesicki? Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, he's tight end 14 right now.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's in the top 15, but like, even that is a stretch for most leagues, like where you take one tight end per team, basically. And then, I don't know, I think it's just a stretch to like include Dawson Knox in anything, unless you really get down.
Yeah, I mean, to bring up another guy that we're going to, you know, talk about later in this specific podcast, I would rather take a shot on Chris Herndon of the Jets than I would on Dawson Knox.
Ah, that would have been a better question. I'm stupid.
It's all right. We're easing back into the season, baby. So we're doing all right there. Let's talk about the running backs. You know, Frank Gore, no longer a Buffalo Bill. You do have Devin Singletary, who is, you know, will be the lead back, you would assume. Singletary was on the field a ton last year, was really good in pass protection, was really good in the pass game itself. Let me see, how many targets did we have for Devin Singletary last year? 41 targets, so not like a huge amount, but pretty good, and something that you obviously think he can build on this year. So the wrench that kind of got thrown into the Devin Singletary value was the draft pick of Zach Moss, who was the 22nd pick in the third round, you know, and is likely to take away some of that work from Singletary. So, you know, I think Singletary will be the RB1 in this offense. I still think he's a guy who, you know, you have in maybe that second or third, like, tier of starting running backs where he's not going to be a feature back, but he should get the majority of snaps. I don't know. I think I'm pretty bullish on him. He's currently RB21, pick 44 overall. I haven't obviously gone through and ranked everyone, but I think I might like him better than RB21.
Let me see. Where would that necessarily be going round-wise?
So, like, in the fourth round, basically.
Okay. So, that's kind of like when you're not super pumped about taking him at that time, but it could totally just be fine or work to, you know, excess, especially the fact that we expect this offense to be better as a whole. That gives more opportunities to Devin Singletary, who you said saw, you know, a ton of the field last year when he was healthy after he missed like those three games after kind of, you know, he came out pretty hot and had a decent, like, fantasy wise, you know, first 2 weeks and then got injured. People kind of forgot about him. And then once he came back, if you held on to him, he was pretty good. So I think there's definitely that opportunity stake in that, especially if we're thinking that the Bills are going to be even more solid than they were last year with like a pretty good playoff team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think he's going to wind up being a good pick, and you know, ADPs are obviously a little hairy at the current given time, and certainly aren't going to be what they are, you know, when it comes to your draft in August. But yeah, I think overall, you know, both of us are pretty in on Singletary. Even in that timeshare last year, he got 150 carries and, like I said, those 41 targets. So that's not bad, you know. And Frank Gore's departure leaves a total of 166 carries, you know, up for grabs. if you ask me, like, is 200 carries for Singletary realistic? 200 carries, 50 plus targets? Like, fuck yeah, absolutely. You know, I would even maybe go up to 60, 70 targets, which that's good.
That's very good.
Dude, he played 12 games last year and got 41 targets. Like, you know, if we extrapolate that out, we're not that far off. And then we're also, you know, also taking into account the fact that he's a second year player who should gain some more responsibility. So yeah, I'm pretty in on Devin Singletary, I think. And I think I'm a little bit above market on him currently.
Yeah, I think so. I think we got our first love of the off season.
There we go. So we got to do it. Yeah, no, we do got to talk about Zach Moss as well. And what his value is going to look like. You know, at the current time, he's going as RB 55, 179th overall. There's been talk that Zach Moss might take away some goal line work from Singletary and some red zone work, which is fine. He might be a guy who's usable in that way. But also, like, Josh Allen's just going to run some shit in too, you know? So I don't even know if that makes him that valuable.
I was going to say, you're not taking Devin Singletary for his enormous touchdown upside. You're taking his opportunity upside. So, like you said, the Bills usually get down there. Josh Allen is doing whatever the fuck he wants. Like, that dude is a psychopath jumping over the line. Had so many rushing touchdowns. I think he had 9. So, you know, it's not like you want to have the bruiser, like, on your team necessarily. Fantasy team.
Yeah, I mean, rushing touchdowns last year for the Bills, like you said, Josh Allen 9, Devin Singletary 2, Frank Gore 2. So, like, Josh Allen is the goal line back right now.
So, Be real about it.
Yeah, so I guess with that being said, do you want to draft Zach Moss at all? Or are you cool with just, like, kind of leaving him on the – like, letting someone else pick him up late?
Yeah, someone else could take it. I mean, it's – and then when I start thinking about it, I get all paranoid that, like, oh, he's – probably the heir apparent if anything were to happen to Singletary injury-wise, but you're not really going to plan for that, especially when you're targeting someone like Singletary. You're not going to take a weird-ass goal line back rookie handcuff. So best not to get into that, like, muddy-ass situation and just kind of, if you want part of this backfield, take Devin Singletary and don't really kind of, like, nip at the heels of, like, late in the draft and get Zach Moss.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And also to back that point up, and just because Don would be mad at us if we didn't bring up his name, if Devin Singletary were to get hurt, TJ Yeldon, TJ Tasty, will get a little bit of a role, I would think, in the pass catching game. So there you go, Don. I hope you're listening. I hope you enjoyed the TJ Tasty shout out. He's not going to do jack shit unless Devin Singletary gets hurt, but there you go.
He was bad last year too.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
Like, limited use and, like, very poor play.
Well, that's good old TJ Yeldon for you. All right, I think that should basically do it for the Bills offense. You know, just to give, like, a full view of the team, I don't really think their offensive line is going to be much better or worse than it was last year. It was kind of a middle of the pack offensive line. So that's why we didn't really bring it up. And I also think on defense, because the Bills were a pretty solid defensive team last year. They were 6th overall in Football Outsiders DVOA. They had a couple of big losses on the defensive line in Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, but then they also signed Mario Addison from Carolina, who's a very good pass rusher, and they drafted AJ Epinesa, who is, you know, also a pass rusher out of Iowa. So I think all of that is basically to say, I think their defense, you can, you know, obviously there's a lot of variation in defense, but I think you can expect it to be a top third of the league defense again, pretty handily, which is another reason that I like the Bills to win this division this year.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. And then, you know, the departure of Tom Brady helps a lot. Like, the Patriots right now are an enigma. We don't really know what they are. So you can, you know, they're playing them twice a year, get the Jets twice. That's, you know, middle of the pack. And then Dolphins with possibly Fitz or, you know, Tua. So they get some advantageous matchups in the division. So it's not a bad defense to snag.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that division and, like, 4-2 is, like, the absolute worst that they should go in that division. You know, obviously weird shit can happen, but,
agreed.
You know, they shouldn't be 500 or worse in that division. All right, let's move on to, oh wait, no, let's take a quick break, I guess, and then we'll be right back with the New York Jets.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
All right, guys, we are back, and we are ready to dive headfirst into the shallow concrete pool that is the New York Jets and break our necks. All right, Vin, so with the Jets, we do have the coaching staff again staying the same. We've got Adam Gase back at head coach. Questionable.
Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, and then Dow Loggins as the offensive coordinator, and Greg Williams, also a little bit mind-blowing to me, still back as the defensive coordinator. You know, they went 7-9 last year. The over-under for their wins this year is 7, so we're not really expecting much change based on that. They did do some interesting things, I guess, over the offseason. But I mean, the story of the Jets and the story of the Jets in fantasy is that I really want to like some of their guys, but I don't know how to fucking account for Adam Gase. And, like, it's just – it's going to be the story – as long as Adam Gase is a coach in the NFL. But, like, Sam Darnold showed some flashes last year, and he showed those flashes against bad defenses. I know because I streamed him for a while when he had that run against, like, it was like Raiders, Dolphins, Giants, Skins, Dolphins again, and I was just like, Sam Darnold, baby, like, let's go. You know, he's got a ton of potential. He's got some weapons in this offense. But it's really just difficult to really project it. And also last year, the offensive line was fucking terrible. According to Football Outsiders rankings for, you know, adjusted line yards created, which is sort of their rushing stat, they were 31st in the league in that. And then they were 30th in the league in adjusted sack rate. You know, it's always hard to quantify offensive lines. But I think it's pretty safe to say that the Jets offensive line fucking sucked last year. You know, on the bright side, they did a lot to sort of change it. They drafted Mekhi Becton, the gigantic offensive tackle out of Louisville with the 11th overall pick. They signed George Fant, another tackle from Seattle. They signed Connor McGovern at center, who was another big contract they gave out to. He was with Denver last year, and they also – you know, made a couple other signings on the offensive line sort of to add depth pieces. So they're trying, but in an abbreviated offseason, is the offensive line, do you think, like, it can't get any worse, but offensive line is like a, it's a thing that takes a while to come together, you know? Like, should we be worried again that Darnold's just going to have no time this year?
I mean, like, yes and no. I would still stream him against bad defenses, but I'm not expecting them to take a massive leap forward, especially with this like kind of unknown offense deal, offseason deal where they're not going to be able to get any kind of synergy going up until, I guess, whenever training camp starts. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with you that they are trying, and it will be there. Like when you were saying all the names, I'm like, they really are trying.
Yeah,
which is weird for the Jets, because normally they're just like, fuck it. Like, if this was the Jets of 5 years ago, they'd be like, pick up Frank Gore, but that would be it. They also did. They picked up Frank Gore, but it would have been no offensive line moves.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm really interested to see the Mekhi Becton, the guy from Louisville, because he was the third tackle off the board, which was a little bit surprising. A lot of people had him as the fourth. But his whole thing is that he's fucking 6'8 and like 380 pounds and like moves like a fucking linebacker. So he has like all the potential in the world to just be like maybe the best tackle of all time. But also people are like, yeah, if he washes out of the league in 3 years, like I wouldn't be too surprised, because it's hard for 6'8", 380-pound people to succeed. So I'm really interested. Yeah, I'm really interested in that whole experiment. And I think just with the glee that I get from the Jets playing poorly, it could be really funny in some cases. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. In terms of Darnold's actual draft position, QB 27, 218th overall, not a guy that you need to worry about outside of streaming or super flex or two quarterback leagues. And actually, while you talk about him briefly, and your thoughts on that position or whether you'd like him any better, I want to look up their early schedule just to see if he's a guy worth drafting late, like to stream for the first couple weeks.
All right, yeah. Sam Darnold is a guy, like you sort of said it before, like a guy like we like and has shown flashes, but really hasn't been able to string it together. And that's mainly because of the Jets organization, I think. So we might not ever find out if this guy is good or not, but he's, again, theme of the Jets right now. He's definitely trying. So
yeah,
it's rough for him to get anything going. They change the offense every single year. They have different coaches every single year. So the personnel is constantly changing. It's just rough on him. And the best opportunities for him are against bad teams, and that's when we should exploit it fantasy-wise.
He's got a bit of a tough schedule. That was why I let out like that yelp.
It's like Patriots. Starts
the season just Bills and Niners right off the bat.
Oh, he's dead.
So do not draft Sam Darnold no matter what.
He's dead. God.
I was looking around for like a stretch like he had last year where you could sort of use him. And it's really not even there, you know, unless defenses go very much differently than we expect them to, which is always possible. Defense has a lot of variance involved in it, and year to year it can absolutely change. So, you know, don't take any of this as gospel. But there's like a 2-week stretch where he gets Dolphins and Raiders, and what we'll talk about in next podcast, like the Dolphins secondary might be good this year. So like, so it's, his schedule is super fucked, basically. And I don't think he's going to be much of a fantasy asset this year.
Damn. Wow. Yep. All right. I'm going to do a lot of gambling right now. Jets win total under.
Yeah, the schedule's tough. And I mean, if you buy that the Dolphins can be at least mildly competitive, you know, it's a tough
this
division
could be
for him too.
This could be a year where the Jets might not win a game, or at least Gase is fired by like week 5 or 6.
That would be nice. I would enjoy that if Adam Gase gets fired. You know, you never wish for people to get fired, but like fuck Adam Gase. Anyway, let's talk about the pass catchers because they're a little bit interesting, or at least some of them are. You know, the big changes in the pass catching core for the offseason. So obviously Robbie Anderson, he's out. He is in Carolina now. He's an intriguing option there. He's a guy who's shown flashes, never really put it all together for a complete season. But I think a guy that we as a podcast sort of agree is talented and good and we like. Am I off on that?
No, I think you're right. I was just about to say, like, that pretty much described their entire wide receiver core. Has never been able to, like, maintain it for a full season. All have shown flashes and are, you know, pretty good, but together, maybe something clicks, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I mean, talking about the guys they actually do have, Jamison Crowder actually didn't have a bad year last year. He finished wide receiver 35, so low wide receiver 3, 12.4 PPR points per game. And he's currently going as wide receiver 45 this year, you know, 113th overall.
I love that.
He can definitely outperform it, but I've also like been calling a Jamison Crowder breakout season for what feels like my entire life. And like, yeah,
that's
I don't
also
know.
A good point.
maybe he's just this, you know, maybe he's just low wide receiver 3. I don't know. And particularly in the Adam Gase offense, but you know, anytime a guy's going to get 122 targets and you can get him as, which, you know, is what he got last year. I'm not saying that's what he got. He's going to get this year, but you know what? Fuck it. That is what he's going to get this year. If he stays healthy, he's going to get 120 targets. And yeah,
I was sorry. I was going to say, when Crowder and Darnold were both like healthy and going, it was like over 8 targets a game for Crowder. So if you can get that at this price anytime when we're actually drafting, that's fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, at the very worst, he becomes a guy that you can plug into your lineup and be like, well, he's not going to get me 2, you know?
Exactly. He'll get you 5 or 18.
Yeah. So there's value in that. And then the other two receivers that we would project will start for the Jets, and, you know, this could be wrong with one of them, but Rashad Perryman and Denzel Mims. Perryman obviously coming over from Tampa Bay, you know, and coming over to start – we discussed it before. He kind of did jack shit until Godwin and Evans were both hurt, at which point he went the fuck off last year. And he showed some flashes with the Browns the year before that. I could see him filling into the deep threat role for the Jets pretty well. You know, there's a very real question is how much is that deep threat role worth?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like completely worthless.
So is it worth wide receiver 59, pick 158 of the draft?
Yeah, whatever. No. Okay. I mean, probably not. I'd rather take Dawson Knox.
That's a bold call. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not advocating going after Breshad Perriman, because I'm not really advocating going after anyone in this offense like too hard, other than guys who are very obvious values like Crowder. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like there's a chance he has a decent season. And then the other guy that we project to start, and part of me was like, oh, maybe like the abbreviated offseason, you know, some of their bench depth or something will start over them. And then I looked at their bench depth and I was like, Josh Doctson and Josh Malone are not going to start over Denzel Mims. So Denzel Mims, the rookie out of Baylor, set 27th pick in the second round. A guy that dropped, though, a guy that, you know, my scouting ability is next to none. But when I watched his like highlights from Baylor, I was like, oh, that's AJ Green. Like, I was like, this guy's tall and he's fast and he's like a good deep threat. And like, he's a guy who can just be like a wide receiver one, you know, but I don't know. I really, really liked him. I thought he dropped. I thought he has the chance to be really good. That being said, in this season, in this offense, count me out on him.
Yeah, I can very much agree with that. It's just like, we don't even want part of veterans who have been in this system and have been with Sam Darnold other than Crowder, and then you're not really going to risk it on a rookie in a weird off season, even though he's starting. Like, it's just too much of an unknown.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He might be, I'm sure, you know, if you tell me in week 7 Denzel Mims is like a must have waiver pickup or whatever, like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was actually going to follow it up with, if he pulls like a Terry McLaurin, okay, I'll eat my words on that, but it's, you know, probably very unlikely.
Yeah, and I mean, he's currently going for perspective, 167th overall, wide receiver 61. So not much behind Perriman. And if he's a guy you like, if he has a good preseason, and you're like, hey, I want to take a late-round flyer on him, like, for sure, dude, I'm not going to stop you. You know, it's fine to do that. But not a guy, again, that I'm actively targeting at this time. Sam Darnold's tight ends. We saw Ryan Griffin be like weirdly really good in certain stretches of the season last year.
So strange.
Bizarre. Not a guy who's getting drafted right now, because you would assume Chris Herndon, who, it was a lost season for Chris Herndon after, you know, a rookie season that was actually really good. You know, there's a reason we liked Chris Herndon so much last year, even though he had the suspension, and it was because he was historically great as a rookie when rookie tight ends are normally bad. So he's currently going off the board, tight end 20, 165th overall. I'm willing to take the risk at that price just based on Herndon, but I'm also willing to drop him like a sack of fucking bricks if he doesn't produce right away.
Yeah, that, again, this is like my whole tight end argument. Like, it's almost weird. I don't want to say wasting time, but it's just like, all right, take who you want at the end of the draft and then deal with it as the season goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's – We'll see how it all fares, but do you think it's more likely that Herndon returns to his rookie year form and builds on that? Or do you think there's a chance that, like, he's just not an Adam Gase guy or whatever? Because that's another thing. Like, he came back and he was active, but he didn't play ahead of Ryan Griffin. And we were all kind of like, what the fuck? He might still be hurt. But maybe Adam Gase just fucking hates him for some reason.
Yeah, I do remember that stretch of like, we're like, all right, pick up Herndon and wait for this week. It's like 2 weeks ahead. And it's like, it's a Chris Herndon week. And then Adam Gase just like, I'm a total douche. And like, he's active, but you don't expect him to play. It's like, well, what, why? What is that? So, you know, it's weird to see. Well, not weird to see. It's very telling of Adam Gase to have that kind of talent on your team and then kind of waste it. And then, of course, Chris Herndon gets hurt again and then just done with the season. Very, very lost season. So,
Yeah. Speaking of wasted talent, great transition to Le'Veon Bell.
Adam Gase strikes again.
Thanks for setting me up for that one. I appreciate it. So Bell currently, so he signed that big contract last year. Apparently Gase was not a fan of that. They fired the GM before the season started. He signed him to it. It's just like, what a fuck it. The Jets are a mess. But he's going as RB17, 34th overall, which is something we'll talk about in trends. RBs are going so fast this year. If you look at ADPs, It is wild. Like RB17, 34th overall. That's like insane.
Running backs are back right now. So
yeah, for real. He finished as RB18 last year with 14.3 points per game, but he did it on just like a humongous amount of volume. He was legit bad last year. He averaged 3.2 yards per carry, only 7 yards per reception, got in the end zone a total of 4 times overall, not even close to a 1,000-yard rushing season. And I watched like a video breakdown of Le'Veon Bell's use with the Steelers and then the schemes that they had him running with the Jets. And I don't specifically remember the names, and this is not my strong suit. But basically, they were just like – they were running him in a scheme that's not suited to him. Like, is that going to change this year? I fucking doubt it.
Yeah, I was going to say probably not. Like, I feel like Adam Gase was like, all right, we'll give you whatever you want, your 20 carries, but they're all just going to be dives, and no one is going to do any kind of counter blocking or – any kind of like interesting play type whatsoever. And just Bell really, really suffered.
Yeah. I mean, the 78 targets kept him afloat in terms of being a fantasy asset, but yeah, it's difficult to see him, really breaking out in that kind of way, unless the coaching staff changes its ways. And I'm not confident in them to do that. I think some more evidence that they're not necessarily wanting to have Le'Veon Bell on the field all the time is, the drafting LaMichael Perine, the 4th-round rookie from Florida, as well as signing Frank Gore. Frank Gore's a million years old and all of that, but you sign him because you're going to play him. And
he's going to get touches.
Yeah, and I would expect Perine to mix in a little bit as well. So, I mean, they also still have guys like Trenton Cannon and Kenneth Dixon and Josh Adams on the roster, which all of those guys have seen flashes of production in the NFL at times. So it's a crowded backfield. Do you have any interest in drafting like Gore or Perine?
No. It's I want to love Le'Veon because I do love him as a player, but it's just like nothing is appealing about this offense. Offensive line's rough. Adam Gase, untrustable as they come. And it's just really depressing to see one of the best players in the NFL just be, like, subject to this.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked before about how they're trying to make the offensive line better. They have made effort into that sort of thing. So maybe that gels some, like, partway through the year and Le'Veon gets a little bit of open space to run. I don't know, but I'm not really banking on it.
I know ADPs are a little out of whack and haven't really settled yet, but who is going around Bell right now? That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, let's pull some of that up. Do you want to grab that?
I'm trying right now.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'm going to talk a little bit about the defense. So the defense for the Jets were 10th overall last year in Football Outsiders DVOA, but I think that's a little misleading because they were 2nd in rushing and 18th in passing. This is not a good passing defense, and they haven't really done much to improve that. They drafted the safety Ashton Davis out of Cal with the 4th pick in the 3rd round, and they signed cornerback Pierre Desir from Indianapolis. But a Greg Williams defense in general tries to do 2 things, and that's stop the run and not give up the big play, which leaves the middle of the field completely open. So I would expect this defense, again, to not be spectacular, and I would expect in terms of fantasy outlooks against the Jets, look for guys who run across the middle of the field, run those intermediate routes, and you should see some sort of success there. Were you able to find the range of running backs around Bell?
Okay, so right ahead of him are Austin Eckler, Leonard Fournette, then it's Bell, and this is all late 2nd creeping into the 4th. So after, right after Bell, it's like Chris Carson, Kenyon Drake, Devin Singletary, who we just talked about, Melvin Gordon, and James Conner. Also Mark Ingram right after that.
James Conner is that far down?
Yes, he is. I guess people are scared of like the injury proneness and the, you know, kind of unknown if Ben's going to be like what he was. But yeah, it's a very interesting shake there. And I feel like when running backs going so early, as you said before, it's going to be all preference, I think, in these like late rounds, which is going to be really tough in the offseason to kind of sift through. I feel like the late second and then to like the fifth or sixth is going to be so, so hard.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, like when I was like 34th, like overall Le'Veon Bell, I was like, yeah, that seems early. But like reading out those running backs, it's not.
Nope.
It's about right. And if anything, he might be a little bit low. Is that – Like Leonard Fournette going ahead of him? Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's early, obviously. There's a lot of things that'll change, but.
Well, honestly, I think Bell is going to fall even further. Like, there's going to be hype between, like, Kenyon Drake is going to pass him. Singletary is going to get hyped up. I wouldn't be surprised if fucking CEH is going to, like, skyrocket as well. So, yeah. It's going to be a really rough middle patch. I think that happened last year too. It's going to be a lot of preference and a lot of like team building, which is going to be tough to like suggest strategies, but fuck, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, there you go. I guess that does it for the Jets. Do you have anything else on them that you want to bring up?
Nah, definitely whatever their win total is, take the under. Actually, right. I wonder what that is. We'll figure that out, but
the win total? It's 7.
7?
Yeah.
I love free money. 7 games. Wow. I thought it was going to be like 5.5. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's 7. The Dolphins have a lower win total than the Jets, which I looked at and was like, that's wrong.
All right, so I'll parlay that with – all right, Jets under.
The Dolphins.
Miami. Over on that. All right, cool. Free just money,
do,
guys.
Just do the whole AFC East. Actually, yeah, do the whole AFC East parlay. Bills over, Patriots under, Jets under, Miami over. It's easy.
How does that not hit? I'm going to take out a grand.
All right, guys. We'll be back with part 2 of the AFC East, which if you know the teams in the divisions and you know how to do basic math, you will know that that will include the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. Thank you guys for joining us. I know it's very early in June. I know there's a lot going on in the world, but we appreciate you giving us your time. And, yeah, for Vinny, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.